Merry Christmas, nerds. Welcome to a super special Christmas episode of Nerdacious Behavior. Just kidding. This is part two of the episode with Chris Thomas, which we recorded several weeks ago, and I don't even remember what it's about. I think we talked about kink and BDSM, and he's on FetLife, and other than that, I really don't know. So I hope you enjoy the surprise. Think of this as our very lazy gift to you guys, but that's because we're so busy elfing around. I just put two tiny bikes together. I'm exhausted. I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas, and I don't even know what else to say. I'm literally deliriously tired, and that's it. That's all I got for you. Merry Christmas, and we'll be back for New Year's. Love you guys. Au revoir.
Okay, I think that worked.
Hey, yay, we can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. Well, yay. Welcome back from that riveting commercial.
Happy to be back.
I'm going to put there now. I don't know what we're talking about because I have the memory of a small goldfish. What were you talking about? Does anyone know?
Burlesque, relationships, jealousy, polyamory, I don't know.
Classic Evan, actually. Kink. Yeah, we can pick up on any of that. Oh, kink, yeah. You mentioned the BDSM thing, and we were very interested.
Yeah, our next guest that we're going to have on, actually, is he has three accounts for mostly kink memes, but he has, like, over 30,000 followers, and he is... Hopefully I'm not naming this incorrectly. I would say more of like a daddy dom.
Probably say it was like a daddy dom.
Yeah.
That'd be sure.
Okay. But when you say you are in the
BDSM community,
how so?
I go to events. A lot of my friends are kinky. I engage in kink and BDSM activities, and
remember you got those leather outfit thing. Is there a word for that?
Which one in particular? Is this a picture from my Instagram?
Yeah. I guess I'll just said it's called a harness.
Yeah. That was probably taken at Folsom Street Fair.
Okay.
Holding a... yeah, right? Well, that's my home. Yeah.
I think it would be less terrifying.
Well, for it depends. Like, depending on the setting, it can be like that setting in particular, just because men are aggressive, and that has like a lot of there's quite a good population of specifically gay men in the kink scene in that setting. And I went with ladies, and we kept track of how many times we were, like, touched or groped without asking. And
hey, guys, are the worst for that.
Both times I won. I mean, I think it's...
Grab your penis.
It happened to me. I had someone politely ask if they could see mine, and I took it out, and then he just grabbed it. And oh, my girlfriend was right by my side, and she lost her shit.
That's hilarious.
Cool.
I think it's just that, yeah, men are pigs, women are more aggressive, and...
She out for the guy, but she didn't want him to touch it. I'm just trying to...
You're trying to wrap your head around that. I think it was... I don't even think...
Look, don't touch rule, I think, really.
Well, there's that, but it was less about look, don't touch, and more about ask before you do something invasive.
Yeah.
And I don't think she would have been, if he would have asked, I would have looked over to her and given her a look, and if she would have nodded her head, I would have said fine. But he didn't, he just grabbed. So I think it was just more about him doing it without asking.
Yeah.
The whole violation part—that's
your girlfriend was mad at the lack of consent, not the actual fact that someone else was touching your penis.
No, because we would be with other people, mostly together, and yeah, it's that makes all the difference. The consent.
Yeah, consent is huge.
Yeah, kind of a big deal that one.
And it's honestly like as a norm in the kink world, it's much more like religiously followed. than in the vanilla dating world.
Vanilla dating world. I just love that term. You know, it's so funny because...
I don't love that term, honestly.
Really? I do, because we always say the only thing that... Well, I always say the only thing I like...
me.
Vanilla is my ice cream. Oh,
okay, that's funny.
But, I mean, it is a broad spectrum term.
It is.
What's your issue with the term, Chris?
I feel like it sounds derogatory. I feel like it sounds like vaguely slurish towards people who like aren't kinky or poly or something.
There's a judgment component.
I don't think there necessarily is, and like I don't care what people say, but in my mouth, I feel like it sounds pretentious, and I don't know if there's a better word. Like it's clear what I mean, and it's a useful word, but sometimes it sounds like it's like condescending.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's very kind and thoughtful of you.
But maybe it's not.
Vanilla dating? No,
not dating.
But just like the word vanilla to refer to like the non-kinky, non-pop, like, you know, whatever is relatively traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of you. Kindness isn't really... my biggest value.
It's definitely one of mine, but not the only. Like, I'm happy to be understand. Like, I wouldn't, if someone used that term, like, that's not the kind of thing that would offend me if I was on the receiving end of it. I'm probably more sensitive to my own use of words like that than I would be to other people's use of words towards me.
Yeah, well, that's that kindness thing again. That's very nice of you.
I agree.
And not, like, just because kindness isn't my highest value doesn't mean it's a good ideal. I do think you should treat people with kindness. I also just think everyone's entirely too sensitive and it's making them weak. But that's a whole other podcast.
It can be overridden. No, I probably agree with that. I mean, I think... sometimes what looks like kindness making people too weak is more like, I don't know, maybe like language policing masquerading as kindness or some kind of impulse to like dictate how people can talk or behave, and it hides behind like a veneer of kindness. But I don't know, maybe that's cynical.
Have you seen Penn Oswald has a great bit called Listen to Their Hearts? Have you seen it?
You know, I might have, because this is sounding familiar. I can't
find it anywhere anymore. They took it off of YouTube, and I'm going to butcher it right now, but I'm going to try it anyway. And he talks about, he's like, I know I'm just a cis white male that doesn't know anything, but I'm trying, okay? There's a lot of new words I need to learn all the time, and I'm trying to figure out which ones are okay, which ones aren't okay. He's like, but I mess up. And I think that there's too much emphasis on the specific vernacular, because you can say horrible things using all the right words, or you can say something that actually, you know, is a kind thing, but you use the wrong words. And he's like, so we must listen to their hearts. And the example that he gives is, some guy going, well, I just think that the heterosexual normative is favorable in terms of the ability to procreate, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that guy is an asshole.
I have heard this exact bit, and I remember that. Yeah, using woke terms to say something horrible. And yeah, no, I agree. Like, I don't care about... I'm not big into symbolism. So, like, I think it's popular to say with a lot of those kinds of things that, like, intent doesn't matter, and I definitely want to reject that. Like, intent matters a lot. Like, sometimes someone might say their intention is good, but it's obvious through the symbols or their actions that it's not that good. And, you know, you can take the words people use as, like, evidence of their intentions, but to say that the intentions themselves don't matter seems, like, just insane to me. And
I agree with that, yeah.
I'm same page.
Stupid. I'm gonna go all out. I'm gonna call it dumb. Did you listen to the episode of the podcast where we had a dominatrix?
I sure did.
And you heard how she hung up on me.
I sure did.
That was really fascinating. So
I was nervous. Like, as it was getting, I was like, I'm hearing this maybe coming to like a more tense head, but like, there's not that much left in the podcast. What's about to happen?
I was like, well, thank you for joining us.
Yes, I did hear that.
Very interesting experience for me. So I ended up sending her a letter afterwards and being like, look, I'm really sad. Like, I apologize that you got upset and that wasn't my intent. And then I, in hindsight, wrote a bunch of stuff that was so stupid. I was like, look, I think we both just want the world to be a safer place and blah, blah, blah. You know, you think it'll happen this way. I think it'll happen that way. And then my friend was like, Yvette, she doesn't want the world to be a safer place. Like, are you listening to anything she said? She wants to hurt a lot of people. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting.
I don't even understand that concept.
I really kind of don't understand the concept of like wanting to be hurtful to people, which is ironic because they do it all the time.
Yeah, I was skeptical. I was reading, I think I read the description of that episode before I listened to it, and the description said something about her being more, having more anger towards men or hatred of men than you thought she would, and I went into the podcast skeptical that that was going to be the case, because just my experience in the kink world, like, I don't see a lot of, like, that, like, genuine, whatever, genuine malice, yeah.
Malevolence.
And, like, I could be charitable and try to, like, interpret what she was saying in a more charitable way, but it came through, and I was shocked by some of the things she said, and,
it was very interesting, yeah. Wasn't it? Now I want to, like, go find a bunch of dominatrix and see if they all have this energy.
It's
such a big sub. I thought she was going to want to make that person feel good. I still thought there was going to be like sub energy in the motivation to dominate someone, because I'm a self-absorbed cunt rag and I was just projecting my own experience on her. Not the case. So yeah, I wonder if other dominatrixes all hate men, or if someone is out there just doing it because they want the other person to have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, they don't all hate men, or whoever they're, like, doms don't all in general hate the people that they dominate. Like, I think that's odd, and actually seems unusual.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. This is like a professional dominatrix.
And I've hung out with pro doms. Like, one of my partners was a pro dom, and she's a very sweet girl.
See, that's fascinating. Maybe she'll be on.
Maybe. I mean, she might be an anomaly, in the sense that I remember that the dom that you had on, she said she started her career in the tradition of like being a sub first and then moving into, but like, she did that as a means to an end. The girl that I'm talking about, the woman that I'm talking about, is she is submissive in her private life, but has learned how to dominate and do this like professionally. And so that, maybe that difference rings a bell, but I know a lot of doms, like male and female, and who dominate different genders, and never, very rare that I get like a vibe of malice from them. Sometimes you get it from online personas, and it could be that some of what she's doing is like, she's on a podcast and this is a public persona, right, and a character that she is taking away. And I'm not a fan of that either. Like, I don't like, I think it should be possible to let the mask down and say like, no, this is me talking as a person. I'm not in like dom character mode, because I'm a dom, and there's that, like, for, I'm not a 24/7 person. Like, that's a term people who are,
for you,
it's not like, it's life, it's play for me. It's sometimes it's very meaningful and like intimate play. Sometimes it's very intense, but like, ultimately it's an activity, not a full lifestyle for me. And I don't, you know, there are people in DS relationships and dominant submissive relationships where that dynamic carries into most every element of the relationship. And
right.
That doesn't appeal to me. Like, sometimes it carries over a little bit into this thing or that thing, but it's still usually like, for me, I'm a very playful person. So like, I'm not genuinely a sadist. Anything that comes out like in my kink dynamics as sadism is always very playful sadism. It's like teasy, joking around, like,
because you like it, I'll do this.
Yeah, and it would kill it for me instantly if I thought the person really actually didn't like it.
Hold on, Autumn is like bleeding.
What? You need a Band-Aid.
Oh, okay, yeah, she's gonna get a Band-Aid. She'll be back.
Just don't bleed.
The show will go on.
The show must go on.
I don't know how she did that. So you are not. I think what you're talking about, kind of, is like daddy dom little girl stuff. You're not into that.
I am into that, actually.
Okay, because that's supposed to be like the lifestyle. That's supposed to be the one that like drips off into the rest of. I thought I read online one time. Into the rest of your life dynamic.
It certainly can and does for a lot of people, but I mean, it's not like a. I mean, there are plenty of people who I think like to fall into that dynamic, like in the bedroom or in little parts here and there, like of their lives, but not all the time. Like, you know, daddy daughter or daddy baby girl dynamics are one of these things that, on the one hand, like, are sometimes even looked at like with a "ew, that's gross" face in the kink world, but also something that is really, really common for people who would not otherwise identify themselves as kinky. Like calling your lover daddy is really common, you know? It's like a trope almost. And falling into that, like, ooh, daddy, like that, you don't even have to be kinky to fall into that. Or rather, you might be only kinky in that way. But I am into that. I like that dynamic, like as a role play like scenario, and sometimes, you know, it could be more or less formal, and sometimes, like, my partner and I right now, we do fall into that dynamic pretty regularly, like outside the bedroom, but it's nothing like enforced or set in stone. Like, she'll just, you know, kind of go into like little girl pouty mode or whiny mode or playful mode or something, and I'll reciprocate that, and then we'll just be like two people talking, and there's nothing really planned about it. It kind of falls into place often.
Mm-hmm. So you were never like intentional, or you never had like an intention about sort of, we're gonna nurture this and water this and do that. It just kind of bubbles up, and then you play with it and let it pass. But it doesn't like define the dynamic.
That's a good question. Somewhere in between those things, it is a really prominent part of the dynamic, and there's plenty that's like been intentional about it. It's not that it always defines our dynamic. It's not that every interaction we have goes through that lens. And it's not that there's an expectation on either of our part that we're like fulfilling that role all of the time. It's, you know, it comes up frequently in the bedroom, and it comes up kind of sporadically in regular life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even in regular life, there's a plan. Like, she might be like, I want you, like, I want to be like a bratty kid in the store when you go shopping and you're like frustrated with me or something. Like, that's a real conversation we had.
That's so weird and cute and fun.
Isn't it? I think so too. And, you know, another adjective a lot of people might use is gross. And I don't think so. I think it's adorable. And
I was like, he's going to say annoying. No, gross. Okay.
No, I think it's wonderful, but it's definitely like it's unnerving for a lot of people. But yeah, I like doing that. I also like being like, I like being silly in public in a way that's potentially embarrassing, as long as I feel like I am the butt of the joke, not like the people around me, you know?
Okay, I could go either way, but yes.
I'm going to draw this distinction and like compare. Andy Kaufman's like one of my heroes and idols, and I grew up being obsessed with Andy Kaufman.
So good.
And then I think people like Tom Green and Sacha Baron Cohen really took a lot of inspiration from him. But one big distinction is, I feel like when they're doing weird, awkward, public, like concept comedy, a lot of times for Andy Kaufman, he was usually the butt of the joke. Like he would do something to make himself look ridiculous or stupid or embarrassing, and people would feel bad for him or feel uncomfortable, but it was always like about him. And like Tom Green and Sacha Baron Cohen, they're often like, they're targeting the people that they're pranking, you know? It's like a prank on them.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I like doing,
And so you prefer the Andy Kaufman. I do too.
I prefer the Andy Kaufman.
More fun.
I prefer to, so I can walk around the store and it's obvious, like, she's a grown adult and I'm walking and I'm like, kind of holding her firmly by the wrist and like she's like whining and grabbing something off the shelf and I'm like I'll put this cart right back in the back of the other shopping carts. We can just leave right now.
So
we don't have to buy anything and people are like, what's wrong with that guy?
That is amazing. How long have you guys been dating?
This is relatively new, but I am very excited about it. It's going really well. It's maybe 2 months.
Nice. Oh, that's like the perfect time of year to like couple up.
It is.
If you got it just in time for the holidays, like even including Halloween, which is obviously the best one. And
yeah, we had a lot of fun for Halloween.
Rainy weather. Oh, what'd you guys do for Halloween?
We dressed up as it was innocent fun. I was Lulu Dallas from The Fifth Element.
Oh my god, I saw that. Oh, so good.
It's on Instagram. And she was Kira from Xanadu, Olivia Newton-John's character.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Really cheesy, ridiculous, 80s, 70s, not sure, like fantasy musical about some roller skating Greek angel who goes around granting people's deepest desires or inspiring them to accomplish their dreams.
No, don't. What? Sorry, we're arguing about how to clean up blood. It just sounds weird, but it does. But see, told you. Thank you very much. I know how to do this. Now that she's got blood all over my sock.
Isn't that nice?
Sorry about that. Anyway, your costumes were amazing. Do you want to plug your Instagram?
Thank you. No, that's okay. It's not, my Instagram is not much of a public platform.
Yeah.
I will happily plug again Bourbon and Burlesque on Facebook or Instagram. Nice. That there's all our upcoming shows get posted through there and you see fun pictures of our shows and stuff. And I am on there. If anyone wants to follow me through there, they could probably find me. But yeah, I'm not doing anything on my Instagram that's like public platformy, so that's fine.
I think your Instagram is a good time. How long have you been with Bourbon and Burlesque again, did you say?
Almost 2.5 years. Since like their second performance. So pretty much since the beginning. And we tend to do a show like once or twice a month.
Yeah, I want to know when you go back to the Crepe Place. Actually, I don't know why I just got so excited about that. I forgot I don't eat gluten anymore. Never mind.
You were just excited about the crepes.
I love crepes, or I used to love them anyway.
They're great. They're delicious. Yeah. But the Palomar Ball, well, what about tamales? How do you feel about tamales?
Tamales, I can still eat. I mean, I can eat them, which is the new bar in my life.
There you go. Well, when we perform at the Palomar Ballroom, there's usually this really nice tamale lady named Cindy who just trucks her cart, a little tamale cart up on in there and sells people delicious tamales.
Well, that's cute. That does sound
so good. If you're in it for the food instead of the scantily clad women, come for the tamales.
I'm
there for both.
Oh, okay, see, there's another one. Tassels and tamales.
Tassels and tamales, yeah.
I love it.
All right, Autumn, that's our troop. We'll get started.
I used to teach burlesque. I've taught burlesque.
Yeah, you do, right.
Yeah. And I've never performed.
Really?
You should.
I know,
you?
Isn't that weird?
You totally should.
I mean, not for class, but I never have.
It's so much fun. I have fun doing the little bits of dancing that I get to do, but the whole thing is so much fun. Everyone is so sweet. It's definitely like we call ourselves like the burlesque fam. It's a very close-knit fun little group and awesome activity.
It seems fun. Okay, segue. Here is that we were talking earlier, and I don't know the answer to this, so I'm genuinely asking. Did the theater kids at our high school get down? Because I didn't know many theater kids when we went to high school, or at least not well. But then when I was doing stand-up in undergrad, I got to know those theater kids, and I was like, dude, theater kids are freaky deaky as fuck. And Autumn was like, word? Is that a thing? And I was like, word. But in high school, were the theater kids getting down, or is that more of a, is it unique to UCSE class of 2007, or like what's going on here?
No, theater kids get down, and I think it's maybe like a broader thing is that nerds get down a lot more than you think they do. Anytime there's like a weird, nerdy, geeky subculture fandom thing, those people are, they're fucking a lot.
Told you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Autumn is like floored right now. She went,
yeah, go to a cosplay like anime convention or like Renaissance Fair. Those people are just fucking all the time.
Love Renaissance Fair.
I've never been.
It's like an ongoing fucking holiday.
I feel like Ren Fair is a lot of people's like gateway drug into kink too. And there's a big overlap in like fandom nerdy. If like you go to any weird, like go to Comic-Con and find some booth where like people are hawking their wares, just look for anything like leather. You'll find someone will be selling like video game armor, like fantasy looking armor made of leather. Just walk around that booth and it won't be long before you start finding cuffs and collars and floggers and stuff. Like they're all the same people.
The other kind of leather wear.
Yes.
I've been to a couple of Comic-Cons. I didn't notice any floggers.
You got it. Look, yeah. Try that. If you go to something like that, go wherever they're selling stuff. Look for someone selling cool fantasy-ish leather things and just walk around. You'll find something kinky.
All right. Well, now I've got a homework assignment. I will let you know.
We will definitely be podcasting from the next whatever.
We'll go to comedy.
Yeah. To be clear, I didn't get down in high school because I didn't get down at all in high school. But the theater kids in general certainly were.
Mm-hmm. I knew it. I fucking knew it.
I remember that pinball.
Tommy.
Oh my gosh, that was the best performance ever.
I loved doing Tommy. That was Cousin Kevin.
One of the absolute favorites that you guys had ever done.
It was so cool. I love that director.
I didn't see it. What was it?
I mean, we had real hookers. People student hookers in that freaking...
It was an edgy high school play. It was Tommy, the rock opera about the catatonic pinball prodigy who... gets abused. It's such a weird story. Like he gets abused by his family, and then he becomes like he becomes some like Jesus figure cult leader.
So good.
In the original play, like his uncle Kevin molests him, and I was Cousin Kevin. We cut the molestation part.
Oh, that we even were like so progressive that the high school would even let you do that.
I think I dated Chris at the time, and
CJ.
Person. Yeah, that was the first person in our group that had dated, I think, a drama person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I remember that.
It was a crossover of the SLV times.
I'm so confused. So he gets molested by his uncle, and then what happens in this weird
party? I don't know. He gets molested by his uncle. He gets beat up by his cousin. That's me. His family tries to, he's like, becomes really good at pinball for some reason, and that becomes a big deal, and his parents try to use him for money, and then, like, all of a sudden he can talk again, and he becomes this, like, Jesus-y cult figure, and everyone wants to follow him and live in peace and harmony, and I don't know.
He fucking rocks the pinball.
He rocks the pinball. He's a pinball
superstar.
Wizard.
I think there's even a song called Superstar, maybe, in that way.
I was.
Great.
I totally missed that.
Oh my god, it was so good.
It's a very 60s thing.
There's clothes flying everywhere, and there's high school students everywhere, and I'm like, man, teachers could seriously get in trouble. Like, how do you walk around this shit? And you're like, oh, blindfolds, blinders. But it
we had some questionable teachers, though. anyway. So, good stories.
Okay, well.
Yeah, who are we outing on the podcast?
No, we're not going to do that today. No. Anyway.
Why doesn't Autumn ever want to do that? I won't say names, but I will say that one of our teachers used to write poetry about me.
Ooh.
Which was awesome.
What did he
and
teach?
I have a certain high school history teacher asked me to go to Hawaii with him. When we got
wait, did I think it might be the same one because this guy also.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's. Never go to Hawaii with someone. I got propositioned to go to Hawaii and it was fucking awful. I did it because.
What? I had the best. I didn't go with our teacher, but I mean.
No, Hawaii is great. Hawaii is great. I mean, if someone propositions you, like, obviously in a sexual way, and you're not already, like, good friends with them or dating them or something, don't do it.
Don't go. So wait, yeah, I was what's like, are you going to teach me more than history, though? Because otherwise, it's a waste of
time. Absolutely. He was going to teach you. Yeah, go on.
What was your Hawaii story? Why did you so vehemently suggest we should not go to Hawaii?
Just, no. Okay, proposition to go to Maui. There was an older couple that I was hanging out with and playing with and being a boy toy with. And
okay, wait. So for the vanilla listeners, why don't you explain what play means?
Play means anything sexual. It's the catch all term for sexy times of all kinds, of all sorts.
Okay. So, on via paper over here, we have verified that it was the same creepy high school teacher that invited Autumn to Hawaii and used to write poetry about me.
That's pretty...
Good Lord. Okay. It is pretty not okay.
I mean, understandable. We were best friends. We both have big blue eyes, and we were...
Well, obviously, also, this guy's a creep. But, so what were we watching the other day? And I was like, this is why I could never teach high school.
Or no.
Saw?
Yeah, you.
It wasn't you.
Yes, it was.
No.
Riverdale.
That Riverdale show that you like. Yeah, this high school teacher ends up, the teacher ends up banging a student, and I was
think
like.
I actually said, let's not talk about that on the podcast. And she's like, oh, okay.
That kind of sense.
It's the teacher lady, and like, he accidentally. Finds out when school starts that he banged the teacher on 4th of July.
No, he knew that before. I think they did. I think they knew it. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, the point is high school teachers
be a good 24-year-old high school teacher.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, that actor is like super hot and he's in his 20s, so that makes me feel slightly less creepy. But when we were watching it, I was like, damn, Archie's fine as fuck. What's going on here? I'm so confused. You're supposed to be a child. I don't want to feel this way.
Too bad. Too bad.
Anyway. So you're playing with this couple, and they're like, do you want to come to... Hawaii with us.
I was getting off on this feel. Yes, and I was getting off on this feeling of like they were fun, they were nice, but it, you know, it was fairly casual, and I was having the feeling because they had a place in Maui that they went like once or twice a year, and the wife was like, "So we always take this trip, and my husband always like ends up inviting." Some like cute young girl to come along with us, and it always is like a huge fucking train wreck, and I'm always like, why can't we just go, you and I, because they always just end up like being psychos and spending the whole trip trying to find coke and like ruining everything, and then you get weird and because they don't want to fuck you or whatever, and she was like, well, this time we were thinking like we've never invited a guy, and you're really nice, and low drama, and maybe you'd want to come with us. I was kind of getting off on feeling like, I was like, is this how cute girls get treated all the time? Like, people buy you drinks and offer you free trips to Maui, and it's, you know, it's not a normal experience for a guy. So, I was...
Yes, I would.
yeah. Absolutely, I'll go to Maui with you, all expenses paid. And I was excited about that, and then... Shortly before the trip happened, there was another girl, another partner of mine that I had introduced them to, and they had taken a liking to, and they decided to invite her last minute.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden I was like, you know, I'm fine with this, except for all of a sudden I feel like I'm really confident in my social ability to make sure things don't get weird on this trip. And now you're throwing another person into the mix, and it just raises the complexity, the social dynamics, like become... increasingly unmanageable if something happens. Like, I'm less and less confident that if things go wrong, I can
fix it.
Because I don't know what their dynamics are going to be like. And more or less, that's what happened. We all get to Maui, where they rent out this big, like, condo suite for the week, and we're all hanging out there. And right away, like, the dynamic kind of falls into place, like, more or less organized by the married couple, that I'm mostly, like, hanging out with the wife, and this girl's mostly hanging out with the husband. And we're all hanging out, but the husband and this girl are increasingly not getting along. She's, like, finding herself less attracted to him, and he's being more and more kind of a dick. And then it just becomes this really, like, horrible Thanksgiving awkward dinner dynamic where, like, we're just this family living in this house together, and there's just this constant tension of them making passive-aggressive comments to each other and fighting and bickering. And I'm just sitting there quietly, like, holding my breath, and so is the wife. And we're like, what do we do? And this is just so unbearable. And the only saving grace was that I wasn't close enough with these people that I was, like, felt like if this goes really south, then I'm losing a cool friendship. It's like, so I was kind of basking in just how ridiculous and sitcom-like the whole situation was, and just thinking about talking about it later. And the tension built so much, and eventually they, like, actively, like, had a fight in public at dinner, like, yelling at each other.
The
girl and the husband.
Oh, oh wow.
And
that's even worse somehow.
And me and the wife just
what
took
was
off.
What was the fight about?
I don't know. I think it was about what their mutual expectations of each other were for this trip.
Oh, God.
And it was super uncomfortable. And so the wife and I just, like, walked away and tried to, like, get some fresh air. Mood's been killed most of the whole week. And eventually it gets so tense that the husband's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm buying you a plane ticket. And she's like, thank God, because I'm done here. And I, you know, I tried to chat with her privately in the other room. Like, I'm so sorry you got roped into this. Like, I, you know.
Why didn't you, like, go get an Airbnb somewhere and enjoy your, like, last 4 days in Maui or whatever? Like, I don't understand.
I imagine to some extent she might not have had the money to do that because they were paying for everything. And he kind of, unless she wanted to buy also a plane ticket, he kind of held the cards because he had purchased all this. So he just changed her flight and was like, here's your new flight. Like, better be on it. But she was happy. Like, she was happy to leave. And that was...
Did you have a good trip?
I was like, okay, maybe it'll be calm after this. And then he found a reason to get mad at me for the last couple days. And...
What was that?
He wanted to plan on the last day to find another couple or another person to, like, join us and play with us. And I spearheaded that and went on FetLife, which is, like, one of the main, like, kink social networking sites, platforms that people use.
More than one? Okay, because the BD or the dominatrix lady told me about FetLife. What, are there other ones?
There are. FetLife is, like, the biggest and the most, like, widespread. FetLife isn't really a dating site. It's more like just a social networking site, but there are also kink sites that are more explicitly for dating rather than, like, social networking broadly.
Adam's eyes just got so big, like, she wants to join FetLife right now, and
no,
I'm over here shaking my head and, like, tossing my neck. I'm like, you do not want this.
It's easy enough to make a profile without pictures just to, like, voyeur around and see what it's like. Like, you don't have to actually do anything, but...
I'm gonna get terrified, Adam.
It's possible you will.
anyone that knows me, they're like,
don't get me wrong, she gets down in the bedroom, but, like, outside of that, no. And you don't even, like, date online at all to begin with.
Okay, but you know what, in the kink world, like, kink is not synonymous with swinging or with polyamory. There are plenty of people in the kink world who are, like, solidly monogamous, and all of their play happens privately behind closed doors, like.
But they're still on FetLife?
Well, you might be on, just like, you know, you might be on Tinder or a public dating site looking to meet someone, but you're doesn't mean you're fucking in public or whatever. You know, there's still a community of like-minded people that you might want to meet. There are classes advertised there. There are
What kind of classes?
You know, like rope tying classes, flogging classes, hook suspension classes.
Wow, that's wild.
You know, there's a lot of things that are potentially dangerous, and you wanna learn how to do it through someone who knows what they're doing before you just go sticking hooks through people.
So the people that I used to tour with when I was that MC, and I said the go-go dancers, the other people that were on the tour, long-term, besides the Toxic Zombies that are based out of Portland, Oregon, which is like kind of a kiss, more like...
Oh, it's a band. I was like, Toxic Zombies, this is a weird fetish.
But I don't know if you remember... like Lollapalooza, the Jim Rose circus freak show.
Okay.
So this guy was covered in blue puzzle piece tattoos, and we had lots of people because of that, like the Kiss of Death with the blindfold chains on, we had suspension people, and we had the hooks. So like I've done that.
The suspension thing.
I've hooked
done that once.
Well, I've done it once, but I
had hooks.
Yeah, I still have fun.
Oh my god!
Autumn, really? You got suspended with hooks?
Wow!
Yeah, just one.
Did it hurt so bad?
No, not at all.
Okay, so when they're putting these hooks inside of you,
only at first.
You suspended like that movie? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You had so how many hooks did you have inside of you?
Just two on my lower back, and then they
hold you up by two fucking
hooks. No. I was broken by my shoulders. Yeah.
Okay. I just got nauseous.
Yeah. Did you bleed a lot, Autumn?
No. Not much at all. It was strange. Like, and I didn't really feel, unless it was just the first initial
piercing,
which was really quick. And then once, because I was also tied the suspension with the resistance. And your body has so much adrenaline going through it, you don't feel any pain.
Yeah.
It's more like a huge rush.
I mean, I've only ever observed it, and that's what it looks like to me. But yeah, so, you know, classes like that. And then, whatever, there are other classes like just, I don't know, how do you give a proper spanking?
Dan, what's the answer?
My answer is going to be you want to cup your hand, keep it relatively firm, and make sure you're spanking like a nice, fatty, meaty part. And you want to land where you get some noise. It's satisfying, more satisfying that way.
Your hand for the noise factor?
That's one reason. It's there's like a whole sensory experience behind it besides just the feeling. Sometimes going like from down to up, like across the butt cheek, gets a nice little jiggle there, and that can be satisfying. I'm not a spanking teacher, but I but those are some things that I try to do when I'm given a spanking. But yeah, so this guy in Maui got pissed at me because he wanted to play with someone else, and I started looking for someone else, and found someone who was interested, and then he was like, well, maybe we could also just go to the beach. Or do you want to do this? And he was like, he was on the fence about whether he wanted to like meet someone else or just go to the beach. And I was like, it's up to you, man. This girl responded, I can respond back, or we can just head off to the beach. And he was like, okay, let's see where this goes. So he did. And she ended up coming, and long story short, she came and hung out with us a little bit. And then left, and it was more or less obvious that she just wasn't into him. And what's that?
How old was the gentleman?
Maybe 55.
Okay. And how old is the girl?
The girl or the wife?
The girl.
38.
Okay. And the wife?
A little older than me. The wife was like 45, maybe.
Okay.
And... So she was not into the guy. I mean, she didn't say that, but it was kind of obvious. She actually did tell me that privately over message later. But in the moment it was obvious. And so she took off, and then we went to the beach, and then he, just basically started accusing me of trying to set something like that up just so that I could get laid and screwing up the last day or something like that. And And
like, bro, I've been getting laid.
I was just at that point like really done. I was really keeping the peace the whole time, but I kind of laid into him a little bit and told him that I was done hanging out with seeing him at all in any capacity, and that I was just going to go into one of the other rooms because it was late in the day and go to sleep and take off in the morning. And he kept trying to engage me in arguments, and I'm like, your issues, your relationship issues, your issues with this trip are like not my problem anymore, and I do not want to engage with it. Sorry.
How long were you guys there?
Luckily, this last fight happened like the evening before we were going to leave. So didn't end up being much of an issue. Like, we weren't on the same plane either, which was thankfully. So, and I think maybe he had planned on staying one additional day, like just him and his wife or something like that. Anyway, but I took off the next morning. Everything was good / really awkward, and I'm never going to go on a big trip like that with someone again, just because I'm flattered that they're inviting me.
And now you know what it's like to be a pretty girl.
I've always wanted to. The other time I know sometimes is when I'm hanging out in gay bars.
Wait, what?
The other time I know is when I'm hanging out in gay bars, and I'm like...
No, that's totally different, because, like, as creepy as straight guys be, they never grab your vagina for no reason. Yes, they do. No one has ever done that to me.
It's not that it never happens, but gay men do it a lot more. And not for no reason.
It's like the norm. I used to live with a bunch of gay guys and hang out with tons of gay guys and go to gay clubs with them. And like every time we went anywhere, someone had their dick touched. Sometimes guys will just literally reach into your pants to grab your dick, which I thought, what, like, wow, that takes it to a whole other level, sir.
You guys cut out for me for just a second.
Me and Summer were dancing outside of Chico, and I was talking to her against the wall. Actually, the same person, I think, did the same thing to us. First time, it was like I was standing waiting for the bathroom, which like curved against a wall next to this like one of those fake gold things or something. And it's like, you know, total I don't care about people and respect the asshole. Walked by and I was wearing a short skirt that kind of like pleated and stuck out, but I was wearing like shorts under it, kind of like shorty shorts or whatever. And he like just walked by and stuck his hand up my dress.
Jesus Christ.
Like, in the front or back? The back.
From the back, but tried to scoop it everywhere. And I made this like shocked look, and my little younger sister, who's as nice as I am, she is psycho. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what the fuck did he? And he's like three times of us, you know. And my sister's like already like, bah, 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 bah. Of course, somehow we get in trouble by security or something. And we're outside waiting, and the guy walks by, and my sister's talking to me, and the same fucking guy later that night did the same thing to my sister.
Oh, big mistake.
Oh, my God.
Like, he didn't learn his lesson when he got yelled at by
her. Summer is insane.
Like, so you did it to the same sister.
Crazy. Yeah, she took her freaking boot off her leg, and she's like running at him with the heel. I'm like, no, it's so bad.
Interesting weapon of choice.
Yeah, well, we had nothing else. But she had a pocket knife in her boot, which fell on the ground.
Oh, like, shit.
Hey. It could have gone really bad.
That's one of the nice things about tall boots. Okay, but that's the thing.
Like, I'd rather, not that I am saying anyone should go grabbing anyone's ass. You definitely shouldn't.
It was like...
But I'd rather have someone grab my ass than my vagina. And I've had my ass grabbed where it's like, oh, you almost just stuck your finger in my asshole. Like, that's how close we just got because I'm wearing shorts and you decided to stick your hand up inside of them. But this still feels better than grabbing my vagina.
Yeah, that's all terrible, terrible shit.
Why I don't leave the house anymore. Tom's just over here freaking out.
No. And that's still not what I mean.
I can't explain it anymore than it already is.
But yeah.
I've had someone get up in there before. I quit a job over that. But it's still, like, I don't know. I would just really not like it if some strange person grabbed my vagina. That would not be cool.
I think that's a perfectly valid preference, Yvette.
Yeah, thank you. I would agree.
And I don't like, and you know what? Because guys are so aggressive, like, one, so in, as I like, became more and more interested in kink and, like, started pursuing it more deliberately, which also coincided with my sobriety. Maybe that was a big, like, replacement of alcohol.
Wait, you took down the bottle and you picked up the kink.
I did, and I'm so glad, because I think if I would have attempted to do that when I was drinking, I would have fucked it up in a big way. But just that whole experience, like, there was a lot of sexual and romantic, like, awakenings and changes that happened in me, and I started, like, embracing more and more, you know, things that were probably latent in me, but I hadn't, like, fully embraced, and, like, you know, become increasingly, like, leaning increasingly bisexual. And one element of that is navigating the sexual world of men is a lot scarier.
Yes.
And so I don't envy you people.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Although, I will say that aside from actually being, you know, accosted, which is a thing that's happened by men, the creepiest, like, someone's been without crossing that kind of line, it was a woman for me. I was at a gay pride thing, and this lady was, like, way too in my shit. And I was like, oh, no, thank you very much. Oh, that's so nice of you, but please. And she was, like, really invading my personal space in a very public place. And a bunch of my, like, guy friends had to get in between us and be like, what are you doing, lady? Leave her alone. So that's, I guess, it takes all types. I don't know.
It does. And I, you know, like, this is not excusing that at all, because I think, you know, anything like that is terrifying, but, you know, one thing that makes it, I think, uniquely, like, morally disgusting for men to do that to women is just the reality of the size difference and, like, the threat potential, you know? And,
totally.
And it's, I imagine that kind of behavior among lesbian women happens more in some ways, and same thing amongst men. Like, you don't feel, like, it doesn't feel instantly as predatory. It might feel creepy or, like, uncalled for, but like the feeling of potentially being helpless and, like,
right,
if this person wants to be a predator to me, like, I'm kind of at their mercy, is right, really debilitating and terrifying. And
totally different. Yeah, I agree. I think that's an important part, because even though this lady was, like, very aggressive and it was creeping me out, I was, like, a foot taller than her. I was like, bitch, I've got reach on you. I will help you up if I need to. Like,
yeah.
I could never, I don't know a single man that I feel like, you know what, dude, I could take you. I really don't.
I know a single man. Yeah.
I don't know anyone.
And you might be able to. It's just, like, it's far from a foregone conclusion. And, like, even if it works out that way, like, it's likely that one or both of you will get very hurt in the process or something. And but I was more just talking about being in a gay bar and, like, being at a bar and having the bartender just, like, buy me a drink. And I was like, what are you doing? What? Are we friends? Am I forgetting where I know you from? And I was like, oh, yeah.
I will be here tomorrow, sir.
You want my pants.
I don't remember the free ham in Seinfeld.
The what?
Oh, no, it was your brother Raymond. He's going back and getting the free ham. He's like the... Anyway.
Great reference. Yeah, well, we are coming close to the close of our second hour. Is there anything else that you wanted to...
I don't know. Always ask before you touch someone's genitals.
I like that. Okay, yeah. So Santana and I had a whole episode about consent, and she was like, that's fucking awkward. Don't ruin the moment. And I was like, I be ruining moments and shit. I do.
Oh, let me clarify. in public or in a setting where there's no I'm all for reading body language and other cues, and there are plenty of time. I don't think that every bit of consent has to be like explicit and affirmative. But if you're on the dance floor and just grabbing someone's vagina or penis, that's a terrible thing to do. So maybe don't do it. That's my bold stand that I'm going to take.
Mm-hmm. That's a good stance. I like that. I still will be super awkward and like in the middle of getting hot and heavy. I'm like, wait, can I do this? And they're like, are you insane?
Yeah. Yeah. It's frustrating sometimes that there really are huge cultural differences in different like subgroups of what's appropriate and what's like ruining a moment. Like the kink world is so rife with norms about like asking for things that like I've been on a more vanilla date and then asked if I could kiss someone and had them get like upset, like, oh, like you can't ask me, just do it. And I'm like, God. Okay. Yeah, no.
I keep you bitches happy.
You're right. And I wasn't reading the moment that right. Like I'm like, I'm not at a dungeon right now. Like
this is
odd for a lot of people. And it's off putting for a lot of people. So I get that, and I don't think there's a clean answer to it, but I don't know, use your social intelligence.
Yes. I'm so into consent. And I'm really sad. I don't know if you've heard our consent episode yet, but that we just
talked
about it as a culture. That makes me really sad.
Well, it's a big culture, and there are discussions happening in a lot of corners of it, if not everywhere.
Like you said, the kink world is good at that. Like, they'd be talking about consent.
They do. They do. It's a big deal. Like, if... I like going to public kink spaces and dungeons, and sometimes like I'll meet people who are kinky but have never done something like that, and they're really nervous about it. And I'll say a couple things. Like, one, you are probably in more danger going to a normal nightclub and dancing at a club of like being accosted or groped. And two, the most dangerous part about going to a place like that, like, because some of the popular ones in the Bay Area like are in seedy neighborhoods. The most dangerous part is like the walk from your car to the venue. Like when you're in there, if someone might hit on you and annoy you, mm-hmm. but no one's, if someone like touches you or grabs you like out of nowhere, there, it is such a faux pas. They will get such a barrage of like looks and scoldings and maybe kicked out. Assuming anyone sees it. And if they don't, and if you say anything, like people will just like be at your defense really quickly.
Well, that sounds kind of nice. Maybe I will go to one of these creepy dungeons one day.
Give it a shot, because they're very voyeur-friendly. You can just go if you like dressing up, and just dress up and go with a girlfriend and just walk around and be like, that looks horrible, and that looks kind of hot, and I'm on the fence about that one.
I could do.
I don't know what I'm looking at there.
I don't know what I'm looking at there. That's great. There's an inversion table you just have never seen before.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was so much fun talking to you and just getting, all your weird, eclectic insights.
So happy to be on. This was awesome.
Yeah, Autumn, you don't need to tell them that. She it's wants obvious. You to know it's a compliment.
I missed it because the recording cut out for a second.
Oh. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, and have fun at Daniel's wedding. And maybe we'll be able to have you back on sometime.
I'd be happy to. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you again so much. And everybody go check out Urban and Burlesque in Santa Cruz and the other places that they go. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. I'm going to start following. I don't think I follow you guys. I don't have social media well or a lot.
Do it.
Fourth, you said, and that's going to be
at the Palomar?
December 7th, and it's a Christmas-themed show, and it's at the Palomar Ballroom. Yeah, and if you find our social media, there'll be ticket links on our social media pages.
Super cool.
It's fun.
Well, hopefully we'll see you soon, then.
I hope so. Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right, yeah, thank you for joining us, and have a great rehearsal. Break all your limbs. Take good care.
Will do. You too.
Au revoir.
Bye. Bye.